good to be here. It's good to see some of you I know, some of you I just met. I'm glad to see. I pray for you weekly. I want you to know that I pray for you every week. I call out your name to God. And I ask whatever you're going through, whatever you might be facing, the Lord will help you. And you know, I love you. I can say I love you because I mean that with my heart. And God has given me a love for young people because if we can't help them when they're young, then I got to work with them when they're in prison.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get your grandmother's phone call one day saying, hey, can you go and visit? Going to get your dad's phone call saying, hey, you know, can you come in? I need help. He's in rehab. You see, that's what happens. The young people in church don't think it can happen to them.
Right.
I didn't just wake up one day and think, well, I'm going to go out there and be a drug addict. I didn't just wake up one day and say, well, I'm going to go out there and be a criminal. That didn't happen. What happened is numerous things started happening in my life, and then because I have a sin nature. You see, because we think, because we're in church or our parents in church, that we have this special wall around us. There's no special wall.
Yeah.
That world's out there, and it's waiting for you. It wants to grab a hold of you. It wants to bring you to places that you never thought possible. Young people, take the warning. It will take you to places you never thought possible. Because today, Brother Grimes, one of the sad things is how many Baptist children that grew up in Sunday school that were putting in the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Because instead of preparing themselves with God, they thought, this can never happen to me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pride. The devil loves that pride. And when he sees a little young person who's been a Baptist and in the school, and they're telling themselves, that can never happen to me. Those are the very ones it happens to. So don't shake your finger at me like it can't happen. Prepare your heart with this.
Amen.
This is what's going to keep you from it. And me and you had a conversation last time from behind the pulpit. How's that going with you? Remember what I'm talking about? I'm not going to blow it up and say it out loud. How's that going? You got victory over that? Look, it's destruction, man, to your life. Those things are destruction to your life. I don't forget those things easily because as a young boy, those are the things that started leading me into places that I never thought I would go.
Yeah.
Never thought one day in my life that I'm going to end up going to the penitentiary over and over again, that I'm going to go out there and be a drug addict and suffer for all those years of being in and out of jails, in and out of prisons, in and out of mental hospitals. And so tonight, I just want to spend a few minutes here out of Isaiah chapter 30, we're going to turn quite a bit. You can just listen, or if you have a Bible, carry a Bible with you. That Bible is important that we have with us. It's something we need to have on our persons, and it's something that we need to be getting into, and not just reading devotionals and thinking, well, I'm going to be okay with this, or I came to church on Sunday, I'm going to be okay now. That's not how it works, friends. Once you get out from underneath the guidance of your parents or the guidance of your grandparents even, and it's a sad fact, that thank God it's not happening in your family, but a sad fact of the matter is grandparents are now raising their grandchildren.
Yeah,
and it's spreading across, it's all over the place, you know, and the Baptist churches and everything were, now, and thank God for the grandparents that would stick up, but that's not how God intended it. That's hard stuff to see happen, and so you got to prepare yourself with the Word of God. Look at it says in Isaiah chapter 30, you know, David said this while you're turning there in Isaiah chapter 30, David said that the Word of God became sweet as honey. You ever taste something sweet? After you taste that sweet thing, what do you want? You want more of it, don't you? He says, that's what the Word of God ought to be to you. Young people, if this Bible is not that to you, you're already on the wrong track.
Yeah.
If church is not something that you want to do, you're already on the wrong track. You're going to end up in a place or be in a position that you never thought, that you never intended, because you're going to come outside of the protection of God. You're going to come outside of the protection of your grandparents or your parents. Okay? Once you step out of there, here's what happens. Well, you know, mom, dad, I want to go to Bible college. Next thing you know, guess what they're coming home with? A husband or wife. That was their intention. Their intention was to get out of the house as quick as they could. I'm tired of being underneath this. And I'm telling you right now, it's a protection that God. Look at, there are some children that are in this room that did not grow up with that protection. You ought to thank God that God put you in a position of that protection.
Yeah.
But you don't. You just take it for granted. It's a sad place to be. It's a sad thing to watch. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, woe to the rebellious children.
Uh-oh.
Woe to those who are rebellious in their heart.
Yeah.
Look at me. And rebelliousness does not always mean something that you outwardly disobey. There are things. I've watched you since I've been here today. I've watched some of you been around for the last few times. And let me just tell you something. There's some rebellious kids sitting in these pews. When the man of God is up here talking and you're doing things that you should not be in your heart that you're making fun of, I'm observant.
Yeah,
I watch those things. You know what that means? That means you're a rebel.
Yeah.
You're a rebel. And the Bible says, woe unto the rebellious children. Woe unto those children who inwardly are doing those things against their parents. Your grandmother, your grandfather, your dad, your stepdad, whoever it is in your life. If they tell you to do something, you may very well go out there and do it. But what's God reading in your heart? You see, God's not worried about what you did outwardly. He's looking on the inward of your heart. He's looking to see where the rebelliousness really is at.
Yeah, amen.
There have been many times my children grew up in Christian homes. And there are times that I would tell my son or my daughter something. And outwardly, they would have done it. Otherwise, they would have got a little spanking on their behind. But you know what they're thinking in their heart? Who is he to tell me what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
There are many of you even this week who have thought that in your own heart, in your own mind. Who is he? Who is she that's going to tell me what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's the rebelliousness in your heart.
Yep. Come on.
Woe unto the rebellious children. If that doesn't affect you, then your heart's already starting to grow hard.
Yeah.
When your heart starts growing hard against authority, you're in trouble.
Okay.
I hated authority. I didn't care what kind of authority, from my mother, from a school teacher, from a Sunday school teacher, from a police officer. It did not matter. When I started rebelling against the authority in my home, I started rebelling against authority all over the place. And let me tell you, that's a bad place to be, because then nobody can tell you what to do.
Yep.
You'll be in a bad position there. Brother, it wasn't too long ago. I was going to the Monroe County Jail. And my pastor called me up and he said, Dale, not like I have enough to do. He said, Dale, I need you to do this. I need you to go here. I need you to make that phone call, do this. I said, yes, sir, pastor, I'll get that done. You know what happened? I started crying. You know why? Because for the first time in my life, somebody was able to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I wish to God, sister, that back then when I was a little boy, maybe I would have started listening to some type of authority in my life. But I didn't. I became my own authority and destroyed me.
Yeah.
Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel. That means they're going out there and they're listening to things that they should not. It says that they take counsel, but not of me. Not only are you being rebellious, but now you're going outside of church people. Now you're going outside of the pastor. Now you're going outside of your parents. Now you're going outside of your grandparents, and you're trying to get counsel in this world. This world wants to eat you up.
Right.
This world wants to destroy you. It doesn't want to do you any good. It can't help you. You'll know that in a few years when you try to get out there on your own.
Yeah.
It's going to eat you up and it's going to spit you out. And then guess who you're going to turn to? The system?
Yeah.
The system ain't going to help you. They're going to help destroy you. They won't make you any better. Woe unto the rebellious children. It starts in your heart being a rebel in your home against whatever authority God has put in your life. If there is no authority in your life, then look to the school teacher. Look to the people that are in church who love you.
Yeah.
Make them an authority in your life. Allow them to be able to tell you those things that they need to tell you. Because why? They're not trying to stop you from having fun. They're trying to protect you.
Yeah.
This Bible was given to protect you, not to stop you from having fun.
Yeah.
God put authority in our life for what? To help us.
Yeah.
Woe to the rebellious children in their heart. saith the Lord, that take counsel, go into the world out there and say, what should I do? How should I do this? And let me tell you, they're going to direct you in every evil way possible. They're not going to tell you the right thing to do. They're not going to direct you in the right path because they don't know it themselves. Here, just take this. Here, just swallow this. Here, let's just go and do this. That's all it takes. One time. You deserve it. Oh, you're your own boss now. Let me say something. Forgive me for saying this. Luke, how old are you?
19.
Whose authority are you under at 19 years old? My authority. That's my son. He's under my authority.
Amen.
Why? Because he needs that in his life. Otherwise, he's going to be out there being a rebel.
Yep.
Going to be out there being a drunk. Going to be out there and make mistakes and decisions that he thinks he knows how to make at 19.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Crazy decisions that a young person makes at that age. It becomes a destruction in their life.
Yeah.
Well, I know better. Do you really? Been in this thing way too long for this nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, you don't know better. You get out from underneath the counsel of godly people, and you're going to find yourself in a position you didn't think. You know where you're going to find yourself? In the abortion line. You know where else you're going to find yourself? In getting divorced. You know where else you're going to find yourself? Laid out as a drunk or laid out as an alcoholic. Why? Because your life was turned into an absolute hell.
Yep.
Think you can make a decision on your own at 19. That's just a rebellious child. They go out there, take counsel of the world, and then Jesus Christ goes on, or the Bible goes on and it says, and that take a covering, but not of my spirit. They're putting on the spirit of the world. They're putting on the spirit of what's out there that's against Jesus Christ, that's against that Bible, that's against the Word of God. They're taking that spirit upon themselves, and that spirit outside of that is Antichrist. It's not something that's trying to teach you the Bible. And you just go out there and listen to your worldly friends that don't come to church. And let me tell you, what are they trying to lead you into?
Yeah. Yeah.
I tell my son and daughter, you want to know what a friend is? A friend's going to lead you into the good things of God, not away from it.
Yeah.
You can have an influence, my friend.
Amen.
You can have an influence. You see that sitting next to you? What kind of influence you want to be? It's easy to be, it's easy to be a rebel influence. But try to do the right thing around people. You know what the problem is? People are more concerned about what people think of them than doing the right thing.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame that those things go on. Why? Because they're taking on another spirit. They're going out there and getting that counsel. They're telling an authority, you can't tell me what to do. I've never, listen, see, I've been in this a long time. I've been out there in the streets and jails and prison. I've been out there, and I've never seen such young children tell their parents what they can and can't do.
Yeah, come on.
You go ahead and try that in my home. You go ahead and try that in my home. That don't fly with me.
Yep.
You ain't telling me what to do. Oh, no.
Yeah.
God gave me instructions on how to raise my children, and I listened to them.
Amen.
Would to God somebody would have done that to me. Would to God somebody would have got my life early enough that I didn't have to be exposed to the things that I was exposed to.
Amen.
Oh, you're right. You're right. The people that have this Bible and church people, they don't know any better. They're just trying to stop people from having fun.
Yeah, come on.
Why is this world such a mess then?
Yep.
Why isn't there such destruction? Why are these young men and young women destroyed out there, living, thinking that they know better, and their life is a complete mess? And then, guess what? Pastor Chris, then you got to come up and clean it behind them. That's what church people have to do now. We have to come up behind their mess, and we're expected to do everything for them now, knowing that we've warned them and told them not to do it. But because you know better.
Yeah, come on.
Now when things go wrong, brother, guess who they turn to? Beep, boop, boop, boop. Brother Dale? Yeah. Oh, I made some mistakes. And I thank God that they'll call. Well, you know what? We can avoid all that.
Yeah, come on.
You say you don't know what it's like to be an abuser from home. Oh, I do. My mother used to make me kneel on raw rice until my kneecaps bled. I used to have a man who put my fingertips on the stove and burn them when I didn't listen. Don't tell me I don't know abuse.
Yeah.
Don't tell me I don't know what it's like to have an abusive mother. I know exactly what it's like. But that didn't give me an excuse to live the way I wanted to live.
Yeah, come on.
That didn't give me an excuse to make the decisions I made. Because there was authority out there. But I didn't want that authority. Why? Because I became a rebel. And the things of the world were easier to turn to than the things of God. 40 years of destroying myself. The only reason why you see me standing up here the way I do today is because God restored me.
Amen.
There ain't nothing else but God's grace stepping in my life that made me this way. That I was destroyed from those things that I was in. Let me tell you, there's no benefit in those things. It says this, that they find that covering, but not of my spirit. Why? Why are they doing these things? Why are they going out there and being rebels? Why are they taking counsel of the world? Why are they taking those things of the world upon themselves that they may add sin to sin? I mean, that's what they're doing out there. They're going out there saying, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I am old enough. I am wise enough to make my own decisions. And they're going out there and putting sin upon sin upon sin upon sin upon sin. But yet they know what they're doing, but yet their life is still. Hey, I'm going to tell you this right now. There's some people in this room who are already starting depression medications.
Yeah.
If I said, why don't you raise your hand? I bet you I know of at least two ladies in here that are on it. Because you know so well. Because you know so well, you have to be on that nonsense.
Yep.
How's it working for you? How's it working for you? And if that don't work, we gotta add some weed to that. Gotta add some weed to that to help us be able to function throughout the day. Why? Because you can't handle your own conscience. You can't handle those decisions that you're making.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's bothering you? Why do you think it's tearing you up? How much mental medication do you think I'm on after everything I went through? Why? Because I got Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
I was on, 12, 14 mental medications every single day when my wife met me. When one pill didn't work, they put me on another one. When another one didn't work, they put me on another one. I got so bad, the psychiatrist told me, he said, Mr. Ward, I don't know what else I can do for you. I don't think there's any hope. Thank God he gave up hope on me. Because it's around that time that Jesus Christ got in my life. And he stepped in and he took me off of that nonsense. What was bothering me? My conscience. I was a rebel. Those decisions that I was making tore me up. When Jesus Christ stepped in, he cleaned that up. You know what that was? That squeaky clean. Why? His blood made me squeaky clean.
Right,
and he took, hey, look. And now he took those things away. I don't need drugs, legal or illegal. Some of my best dealers were doctors.
Yeah,
well, they like to keep you hooked up on whether it be a mental medication or whether it be pain medication, whatever. And I'm not against pain medicines. Please don't take me wrong. But I'm against them when they're used when they should not be used. Doctors are helping kill our people out there. If there's anybody who has a right to pain medicine after 16 surgeries, it'd be me. But I refuse to take it. Why? Because my people are dying out there.
Yeah.
Oh, look what it says here. They walked to go down into Egypt. Egypt in your Bible is a picture of the world. It's a picture of people who are outside of Christianity. That's the world out there. The things that the world is doing, the music that they're listening to, the drugs that they're doing, the life that they're living. That's the world outside of the here. And it says, not only are they doing this to add sin unto sin, but now they want to walk into Egypt. They want to go there voluntarily. Because they think the answer's out there. Well, I sure wish Brother Mike was here right now. I'd ask him how well that world did him.
Yeah,
amen. Hey, Amanda, who served in our military, how well did the world treat you, girl? Hey, beautiful lady back there with that pink sweater on, how the world treat you? What they do to you, Amy? What scars do you have even after a Christian for the decisions that you've made in your life? My wife grew up totally different than me, brother. She grew up in a Catholic home, doing what the world would call good. You know, going to college and being a good little girl and then giving herself out to all those men. What destruction did that cause in you, Amy?
Too much.
What hurt?
too much.
What depressions?
Yep.
And she was a law-abiding citizen doing the right thing. But she gave herself over to sin. She gave herself over to the world and said, I'll be okay. And she wasn't okay when I met her. By the grace of God, he stepped into her life 6 months after I got saved and changed her. Hallelujah. Gave me the wife that I needed. God knew the wife that I needed. In his timing, he gave me the perfect helpmeet. 21 years. Woo! That's a miracle in itself, brother. I never thought I could ever be satisfied with one woman. I'm not talking about just sexually. I'm talking about all the way around. There's nobody on this planet I'd rather spend the rest of my life with than that woman right there.
Amen.
Nobody. Why? Because when God puts a marriage together, it's perfect.
Amen. That's right.
We weren't always perfect, but the marriage is in God. We make our mistakes, but God makes it perfect. He makes it where it looks like it's impossible. He makes it look like, man, wow. I know many people who say, well, I'm going to get married. And, you know, they're good little, you know, church kids, right? Well, I'm going to the altar as a virgin. I go, are you?
Yeah.
How much pornography have you looked at?
Come on.
Physically, you may be going to the altar as a virgin. But in your mind, now you're going to try to take those things in your marriage bed. Oh, by the way, girls, behind your back, those boys are looking at pornography and then taking you in the bed.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
That's right.
That's a fact. 75% to 80% of Baptist men in the last week from the age 50 and under have looked at pornography. And you think, I don't think there's people in this room that's done it? If you have boyfriends, you don't think I think your boyfriends are doing it? They're not Christians. They're not sitting in this here.
Yeah,
that just goes to show you something right there. If you're not marrying a Christian person, if you're not going to court a Christian person, you're already making the wrong mistakes.
Right.
It'll be terrible. I'm telling you right now, it'll be terrible. It won't be something God put together. And they walked down into Egypt and have not asked of my mouth. Why they have not asked of God's mouth? Because they don't care what God has to say. This is a rebellious child. This is a rebellious person who could care less about what God has to say, who could care less about the people of God, who will care about them in church. And that's why it says they don't ask of me. When's the last time you prayed and asked God for something in your life outside of money and health? I mean, I'm talking about a spiritual walk, my friend. My son's in college, going to be a diesel mechanic. I said, wonderful, Luke, you go and be that. I said, I'll tell you this right now. But that's not where your success is going to be.
Yep.
Where's your success going to be, Luke?
In
Jesus, in that Bible.
Amen.
That's where, look at, no matter who you are here tonight, your success will be in that Bible with Jesus Christ. It won't be what you think you can do. That's a fact.
Yep.
And by the way, pray, Alyssa, pray. I want you to pray like I pray for you, okay? You remember me. Because why? We're getting ready to open a woman's transition home. When they come home from prison or when they come home from jail or when they come home from a rehab, they can come into this transition home and we can teach them how to live that life. It'd sure be sad to see you come through there.
Yeah.
It's a reality. It'd sure be sad to see you come through that home. It'd sure be sad to one day look and go, wow, it happened like that, huh? I wouldn't reject you. My heart would be broke. My heart breaks for you. Don't ever think that. Don't think there ain't somebody out there that don't love and care for you. I already see it in you. I know this for a fact. I love you. I care about what happens to you. I care about what happens to you when you walk out this door and you're in that neighborhood. I care about what happens to you when you're at home. I care about what happens to you when you're at school. I care about that. If I didn't care, why am I praying for you guys?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to control your life. Do I call you guys and get in your business? No, but I sure care. I sure pray like I'm trying to get in your business. Why? I don't want you going down that path. You may not be choosing that way, but you better be careful because it's right there. And it goes on and it says, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, What are they doing? They're trying to strengthen themselves out there in the world. They're trying to strengthen themselves out there with the government. They're trying to strengthen themselves out there with the workforce and everything else. And it's going to always be a failure. Your happiness will never be outside of Jesus Christ. It'll never be outside of church and this Bible. Now, you may get a temporary reprieve, or your medicine might be making you feel that way. But I'm telling you now, you can have that all the time out of this Bible and being in church with Jesus.
Amen.
You don't need all that stuff, man. You know what? What's your, Daisy? Is that your name? Daisy, it's sad to know that pharmaceutical companies are making millions off of, how old are you? 18. They're making millions off of children your age. And it's not making them any better. It's not helping them at all. They can never come off that medicine for the rest of their life. They've been told that.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you right now, that's a lie.
That's right.
It's a lie from the pits of hell. It's a lie from the devil trying to keep you trapped.
Right. Amen.
Why do they need it anyway? Because of the conscience. It's killing them.
Come on.
If I told you, Luke, Dad, boom, and he's taking a hammer and he's hitting himself in the... How do I stop that pain, Dad? Stop hitting yourself with a hammer.
Amen.
How do you stop the pain in your life? Stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah, come on.
Stop doing what you're doing. Stop going out for the world. It will never satisfy you. It will never make you happy. You each have a yearning inside of you. And that yearning is to have a husband and have children and to have that good life. God instilled that inside of you. But I'm going to tell you, outside of Jesus Christ and that Bible, it won't be happy. There'll be temporary reprieves.
Yeah, come on.
It'll look like it's real good, but it won't be good. It'll be hurtful.
Amen.
Destroy you. Why? You're trying to grab the strength of Pharaoh. And it says, therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame. And the trust in the shadow of Egypt will be your confusion. When you start trusting what that world's telling you, when it's pumping your head full of what it wants to give you, it will cause you confusion. Why? Because you'll come in here and you'll hear the man of God preach the Bible, and then you'll go out there and listen to the world. It's going to cause confusion. You're not going to know which way to go. You're not going to know which way is up or down. Stop listening to the world. Look, if you've got to go out there in public school, then go out in public school. My children were raised most of their life in public school, but they didn't live like public school children. That's a choice you have to make. You have to sell out to God or sell out to the world. You can't have both. What was the success? We were able to have our children come home, and we'd sit at a table and we'd discuss what went on during that day, what they were challenged with, what was going on. And then we were able to show them through that Bible and show them through prayer that those were the wrong things. Those weren't the right things to do. Those weren't the right decisions. And therefore, they were able to be successful out there in a public school. When we were able to homeschool, we did. We pulled them out of public school, and we homeschooled them for the rest of the time. And it was wonderful having them. But I sure am glad they got a taste of what's out in Egypt.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to go there now.
Amen.
They know what's out there.
Amen.
And they don't want it. Okay? Don't want it. It's not going to help you. Don't be a rebellious child. And then I'm just going to read this again. It says, woe to the rebellious children. Learn how to get yourself under authority, even if that means a teacher. Find somebody safe, if that's maybe a Sunday school teacher or a church person. Get underneath that authority and learn how to be underneath that authority. It will help you in the long run. Authority over you is how it's meant to be. I am a man who's under authority. I'm under the authority of Jesus Christ. My pastor is John Ashworth. I am underneath his authority, and so on and so forth. And I love it.
Amen.
I love having the man over me. I love having my pastor being that authority over me so he can guide me and direct me.
Yeah.
That's not a repressive thing to me. It's not a hard thing for me to have my pastor over me as an authority.
Right.
Why? Because I'm not rebellious in my heart anymore. I lived a rebellious life my whole life, and it got me nowhere. I'm tired of being a rebel. You tired of being a rebel yet? You tired of being a rebel against God? Hey, look, I'm not talking about you just being a rebel against your parents or whatever. I'm talking about being a rebel against God. You won't run from God. You may think in your little hearts that you have it all down, but I'm telling you right now, you cannot run from the Almighty God, an all-powerful, almighty, everywhere He is, God. You can't run from something that big. I'm going to tell you now, if he's got your heart, if he's got anything on your heart, he will find you out no matter where you're at.
Right. Yeah.
Don't let it be 40 years.
Yeah.
Don't have to come to my woman's home. I don't want you there. Where do I want you? In church, sitting there with your husband and children. Or if you're a man, sitting there with your wife and children, loving Jesus Christ. It's not a joke. This isn't a joke. This is a reality.
Yeah.
This is not some fairy tale. This is not a fairy tale. It's a life and death matter. You understand? I watch people all the time play Russian roulette with their soul. They play Russian roulette with their life. And they'll say, I'll just spend it one more time. I'm going to take one more chance in this. I'm going to take one more chance and go out there and live whatever way I want to live.
Yeah.
Why? It's the rebelliousness in their heart.
Right.
Say it to the Lord and take counsel. My goodness, don't go. Look, don't go to your friends. Come to somebody who knows. Come to somebody who has some wisdom in things. Go to an older person. Brother, when I have troubles in things, ministry or whatever, I don't go to a young person. I go to a man who has some wisdom, a gray-headed man or a gray-headed woman. I can say, can we talk? Can you help me? This is what's going on. That's what I do.
Amen.
I don't want counsel from this world.
Right.
I don't want what they have to say because everything they ever told me in my past destroyed me. It did never help me. That woman with the issue of blood, she sought the physicians and was made worse and none the better.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Well, he says, take counsel, but not of me. That cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. Out there putting that spirit of the world on us, that they may add sin unto sin. That walk to go down into Egypt, to go out there into the world thinking they know better. I got this. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do. I don't need some preacher standing up there preaching. I don't need him to try to get up there and tell me anything. I already have this. Why? Because their heart is already fixed. It's already rebellious. They could care less about what the Bible has to say. The heart's already fixed on going out that door. Does it not matter what anybody has to say? Why? It's a rebellious heart. Go down to Egypt and ask not of my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall thy strength in the Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your confusion. My friends, listen to me, young people. This world wants to cause you confusion. The devil wants you to, he wants it to look real good. Hey, just try this. Hey, just take a hint of that. Hey, it's okay to do that. You deserve it. You've been working hard in school. Ah, your parents ain't gonna know. They're not going to know you even tried that. They're not even going to know. It won't hurt you. It's good for you. Go ahead and give it up. Go ahead and give in to it. That's what the world's trying to tell you to do.
Right.
If you had any friends, they would tell you the exact opposite. Don't do that. That'll hurt you. It doesn't always have to be a physical hurt.
Right.
But an inward hurt.
Yeah.
A heart hurt. A spiritual hurt. A hurt where you're devastated and can't believe that you've gotten into those things. Watch out for that hurt. My friends, don't turn to Egypt. Don't turn to Pharaoh. Don't be a rebel. Give it up. God will help you. Pastor, I'm done.